Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the prophet Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. On your Pew Bible page, it's on page 745. Let us hear the Lord's word. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And then our New Testament lesson comes from Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, on Pew Bible page 829. Let us listen to the gospel this morning. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Ananias and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the books of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Mighty, loving and gracious God, we thank you for your word that brings us hope and peace this season. And we ask that it would lead us and guide us and keep us as we make ready and prepare for the celebration of the birth of your Son. Help us, O Lord, to listen to how you are calling us to be. To be better, to be more, but also to be your people in a hurting and broken world. Open your word to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. When I hear this description of John, I will say that peace is one of the words I really don't use with John. I listen to his words, his ministry, and I hear the certain words, burning, judging. I think of him as like a wire brush, not a loose wire that's kind of got almost a nice softness to it, but it's a harsh wire brush. Maybe even sandpaper. That's John. Peace is not who I associate with John. But that tends to bring into my head the idea of peace, calm spaces, running water, watching the waterfall down Hurley Mountain Road. It's that idea of calm coming over you. But even maybe that wire brush is calming if you're watching it work, just not if you're on the receiving end. It's hard to find John peaceful as we read Malachi's description of him as a messenger and a herald preparing the way. Even in his ministry, he is proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Not necessarily a peaceful job. He isn't a kind and gentle kind of quiet moving guy. He is wild and woolly from the wilderness. He's got that animal hair shirt, that big belt around his waist. Warm and fuzzy, not exactly. His sermons, if you will, are designed to call the crowd to hear him. He calls his congregation a brood of vipers at one point. Now, imagine if a minister were to do that on a Sunday. Actually, I've heard of ministers who did that, and believe me, their time in ministry didn't last much longer. His great sermon, though, if you will, calls a crowd to change, to transform. He just has that almost enviable level of, I don't care what you think, both about me, but about my message. I am going to do this. And I know it might cost me, and it does. But he is out there proclaiming for God and to God. I remember when my grandmother hit that point of, I really don't care. She would sit down there and just let you know what she thought about this, that, or the other person. Really became inconvenient at my great uncle's funeral when she leaned over and said, hey, Bill, do you remember what I told you about what your great uncle thought about that musician that's playing right now? Imagine that was a shout, not a whisper. And all of the heads turned. But John, that's his normal, is to tell the truth, to tell of what God is calling him to do. Not exactly peaceful, is he? But he does care deeply. He does care about the message he is delivering. He does care deep in his heart that the people need to change. He cares about his mission to make ready for the coming of the Messiah, to make themselves ready. So I ask you, is John unnecessarily rude, or is his message one that could not be delivered in any other way but how he does? Think about it in this manner. If someone is terminally ill with the disease of waywardness, calling the people to repent, to transform and change, does the tone of voice really matter? Or is the message going to be unwelcome no matter what? The people of God are terminally ill with transgression. They are terminally ill with waywardness. And whether you deliver that message peacefully, like a beautiful moonlit night with all the stars here in Hurley, or like a semi-truck or two going down 209 doing the J-brake thing, it doesn't matter because the message is the same. But how is the message to be done? That's the problem. Is there any other way but an abrasive one? Think about it this way. Ever had a bolt that was rusted solid and you had to get it off? What do? Well, you take your WD-40, your penetrating oil, your liquid screw, and you let it sit for a little while. Would you ever drink that stuff you put on that bolt?
No.
That's caustic. That's bad stuff. And then you take that wrench, you put the socket on, and you sit there and you torque. Maybe you take a wire brush and you try and clean up the rust around it. But you sit there and you push until your elbows are sore, until you finally break it loose, right? Well, guess what? John's job is to break loose so that Christ can unscrew the bolt. Maybe if we are trying to get that bolt loose, we're going to try a little hot and cold. We're going to try and do everything possible. As I read that image of Fuller's soap and purifier of silver, I was thinking about what a good modern image is for that. You know, a refiner who melts out and changes impurities, and the soap, Fuller's soap, is one that bleaches clothing, but it's got this fun little part where you just got to beat the snot out of the clothing to get that stain out. Again, not exactly peaceful and gentle images, are they? But then I thought about the words of peace. What is it about peace that conflicts here? It's the end game, the end goal of what John came to do. Now, in Scripture, we have a couple of words that get used for peace. In the Old Testament, that word is shalom. Shalom has many different definitions. It's a completeness of the relationship with humanity and God, a completeness to it. It means safety, peace as in an ending to war, peace as in a friendship, peace in all human relationships, peace in God's covenant with us. In the Greek, peace is eirene. It means peace of mind, peace in all of the ways that shalom means peace. It is so wider to use. But as I think about lighting the peace candle and what John's end goal is, shalom comes closest to truth. Because this is also the Bethlehem candle, the candle of faith. It references the work needed to welcome the King, the work we need to engage in. So you think about it. John is not peaceful. His message is not peaceful. But the end goal is to get to shalom. The end goal is to get to that place. That's why we light and call it the Bethlehem candle. Is there anything about the journey that Mary and Joseph are on that is peaceful? She is how many months pregnant? Riding on a donkey? He is worried about all the societal issues that come with this fiance who's pregnant and all of the whispers. She's got all of those issues as well. And they're going all the way from Nazareth in Galilee down to Bethlehem. The journey is not peaceful. But the end of it all in Bethlehem is peaceful. It is peace. Maybe it's the English major in me being a little nitpicky about the words we use, but I find shalom just reaches what God wants us to understand more than just the English word of peace. And this strikes me because when I was younger, around Liam and Barb's age, during the passing of the peace, you noticed I did a little weird this week, Dr. George Brown would always offer his hand and put his hand over yours and say, shalom. Contextually, when this happens, you get weirded out because here you are, a young person in the congregation, and you were just told an unfamiliar word, that you go back and you try and figure it out. But then you learn that George wasn't just wishing me a good morning. He wasn't saying, hello, how are you? He was wishing me, in me, that I would have Christ's peace, that we all would have the peace of Christ with us. This really came true in my mind and connected when I learned in Spanish class that the word adios was actually the shortened vaya con Dios, go with God. When we pass the peace, it is a time to share the peace of Christ among us, to share the healing of Christ with those we shake a hand with, those who we see. It is a chance for wholeness as a congregation, as a body. Maybe we don't need John to be as abrasive as he is. Maybe his coarse methods aren't as necessary as we think. But maybe it is, because it shakes us out of our fog, so to speak. It's funny, as I was thinking about John, I watched a video of a knife restoration. I know, this is weird and very my generation. I watched as the person took that knife. Maybe you're a carpet cleaner watcher. Maybe you're watching knives get made, but I'm a restoration guy. Maybe that's one of the reasons I'm in ministry. Took an old cleaver, and they scraped away at it. They scraped and they scraped and they scraped. They poured rust remover on it and let it sit. They scraped and scraped with a screwdriver. They scraped and scraped and then hooked up wires and put it in salt water for some form of electrolysis. And then they took a wire brush again and sanded it and took a whetstone to it. All of this work needed to be done to restore this knife. Guys, John is all of those things. We're the knife. John is calling all of us to peace, calling us to restore that relationship. Maybe it is in a good place, but it is the act of contemplating where we are with God, the act of wondering if we could improve, the act of restoring ourselves in this season. So, brothers and sisters, as we wrap, I'd like you to think about that word, shalom, that end goal among us, among our world, in ourselves. And I'd like to challenge you to consider what we all need to do to not engage in that rough brushing, but how do we get to shalom with one another, with God, as a body? May we engage and live into the shalom of our Lord.